Welcome to Box Box Box, the Aussie F1 podcast. In this week's episode, we unpack the spectacular race that was the Bahrain Grand Prix. With Ferrari got it all to prove, will the prancing horse prevail in the wind and sand? Thrills, spills, spins and wins, we've got you covered for a recap of all the action. So strap yourself in, pour yourself a shoey of your favourite beverage and enjoy the ride. And welcome to Box Box Box, the Aussie F1 podcast. Today in the studio, we've got Michael Niccolo. G'day, Michael.
G'day, Iz. G'day, Dan.
G'day, Michael. How are you?
And Daniel Ball, the other of this awesome trio.
Was the three little piggies.
I know you were goating me.
Goating or goading?
Goading, that's the one.
Close enough. Well, welcome, boys. What an amazing race that we witnessed last night. It was spectacular and very exciting. And for one, I didn't expect to have such an exciting race for the second race of the season, but blew us away. Thoughts?
Oh, it was like a Shakespearean tragedy. It had everything, a bit of drama and exciting. It was a proper race. Really was a proper race. Lots of drama. My boys in red just capitulated.
Yeah.
No good.
It was a really, really hectic race. There was so much going on. It was crazy.
Couldn't believe that it happened.
Mm. Poor old Charlie Leclerc, we're talking about, of course, aren't we?
We are indeed.
What about your overall thoughts of the race?
That was a fantastic race to watch. I really enjoyed it. A number of times I'm on the edge of my seat. I didn't watch it last night. I didn't wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning to watch the race.
Yeah,
I was watching it just after work, and I've been on a media blackout all day.
It's tough, isn't it?
It's hard work not going onto Facebook or watching radio or
Even, you know, somebody popping in that, or a customer or just somebody on the street. They could blurt it out to you.
Exactly.
Or see it on the front page of the newspaper or something.
Exactly. So it was very hard doing the old media blackout. But it was an exciting race to watch. It was fantastic. It was reminiscent of some old races of good overtaking.
Strategy.
Strategy was a massive one this time. We saw a couple of different teams on different strategies, which was great to see.
Yeah, it was awesome. And
it's good to see two of us have the correct dedication to the sport.
Totally agree, mate.
So I'm looking at you.
I can see you looking at me very harshly.
So, yeah, Michael and I were the true soldiers of the F1 podcast regime here. We're up at the wee hours of the morning here in Australia.
The excitement, I couldn't sleep before. I was wide awake.
I think half your household was awake as well, but with you yelling and screaming at TV.
I was wide awake. I was so looking forward to hearing the Italian anthem at the end. I thought they're going to do it. Wasn't to be.
Well, let's talk about the story of the race, boys. So how do you want to run through it? Let's start with the start. So we had it was a very sandy and windy night in Bahrain.
It was headwinds, tailwinds,
crosswinds, backwinds, winds, all kinds of winds I think we had, because we had some Leclerc had a bit of a shocker start, I think.
He just had his car pointing the wrong way. He should have been coming across Sebastian to cut him off and get onto the better side of the grid. And for some reason, he thought he'd point the car left. And it was very strange.
It's like he wanted to run over a cyclist or something.
He didn't get the best start.
Threw some red tins at him on the way past.
He didn't get the best start. Sebastian got a ripper start. It was a really entertaining start. There was a lot of
the sparks of those cars have been flying off the back of those cars when they lose those front wings.
That was unreal. I thought there was something going on back there.
Yeah, there was bits of engine flying out the back the way that came apart.
Yeah, so that was really, really spectacular.
Yeah, and the driver behind, like for the life of me, I can't remember who it was behind.
Stroll
maybe, possibly. You couldn't see him behind the sparks. So I don't know how they're actually driving through that and picking their braking points and turn points and those sorts of things.
Mate, they're skilled drivers and that's why they're in Formula One. They're epic drivers. Epic instincts, and they work through it. Leclerc got a poor start, and he was lacking a lot of grip, and because of that dirty line that he was sort of pointing himself out towards, lost two positions on the first lap, and then
He overtakes Bottas. And
what was great, I thought, they all raced really hard.
Yeah.
Good overtakes, particularly at the beginning there with the front runners.
Yep.
But they all had enough respect for each other not to run each other off the track.
Oh, absolutely.
Jeopardize their race, ruin the other people's race. It was the opposite of Verstappen, how he carries on. But it was really, really good to see that. You know, they were all involved in it. There was Vettel, there was Leclerc, there was Lewis, there was Bottas, and they were all changing positions. It was all happening. It was
and some really clean overtakes taking through all of that, and particularly those big fat wide wings that on the front they've got on these cars.
Yeah,
they're so easy just to clip and take off.
Yeah, we saw a couple of instances of or one that I can recall, Daniel Ricciardo
and Hulkenberg
and Hulk. I think Hulk might have slightly run over Daniel's.
Daniel went wide, and that was front Daniel sort of midway through the race. He locked up.
Yeah,
went wide. Hulk gave him plenty of room. I think it was an error from Daniel.
Did
that little plate break? I couldn't quite tell.
No, I think it flexed and popped back up again.
That was
very interesting. The battle between the two Ferraris for Leclerc to take.
I can't believe we saw them overtaking each other.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
I didn't think Ferrari would let that happen. You know what? I'm actually really glad they did.
Mate, it made for bloody exciting racing, didn't it?
It was great to watch, and that's what we need. That's what I said last week, that we need to allow.
We got to see Leclerc take Bottas. We got to see Leclerc, you know, challenge and take Vettel.
Mm.
You had Lewis really, really racing Bottas, and it was fair and stern racing between the two Mercedes, and he got it done. But it was great to see. And then even again with Lewis and Seb as the race went on, it was – really great stuff to see those guys that we don't always see that happening. You know, they might get past each other at a pit stop or something, you know, happens and they change order. But rarely do you see them all racing each other, even teammates up the front, and the level of respect they had, but the skill and the way they executed, I thought it was brilliant. It was a proper race. I was really excited.
But it certainly wasn't a processional race. Like a lot of the races that we have are. Melbourne in particular this year was a bit processional. There wasn't a lot of overtaking. This one, there was so much overtaking. There was big dives under brakes, lots of overtakes under DRS. And in those who don't know what DRS, drag reduction system.
I think you have to say the new aero is working.
It is.
Whatever they've done, all the changes they've made from 18 to 19, we're seeing a lot more overtaking.
I'm still not used to those front wings. They look a little bit too big on the front of those cars.
They seem like they don't break off like the old ones.
Mm. Unless it's Vettel's.
Like we mentioned – well, no. Even that one. Hang on. We mentioned Ricciardo's end plate sort of just flexing.
Yeah.
But even take Seb, the whole thing has come off.
Yep.
It's not like part of it's broken off or it's broken into a couple of pieces or the whole thing has come off. And it happened in Melbourne as well. I don't know if you noticed in Melbourne when
Ricciardo's happened with Ricciardo.
The whole thing, it's like I don't know.
They've modified it somewhat from last year.
It doesn't break apart into pieces.
Yeah, it doesn't.
You don't have that carbon fiber flying around everywhere. You just have the whole thing.
There's a lot less elements to it now, so there's a lot less small pieces, fine pieces to break off. They're basically big slabs of carbon fiber bolted to the front of the car for massive amounts of downforce. With lots of less outwash pieces, so they don't have those little pieces to fleck off.
It's scary though if you've got the whole front wing on the track and someone hits it.
Well, that's why we have the halo.
Massive damage and trouble. What I thought was another really interesting aspect of the race, guys, was the tyre, not only tyre strategy, but just the degradation on the tyres. I found that drivers who really seemed to manage their tyres well, and there were drivers that didn't quite seem to have the right balance. For example, Hamilton, he was really early on in the race complaining about losing grip.
The soft tyres just didn't last the way they thought they would.
Not at all, no.
They only did like 10 laps or something.
The cooler weather, and they hadn't done it at night except for qualifying, but all the practice had been during the day and hot desert, and then it's cooled down, it's very windy, sand on the track. You're right, the soft tyres just didn't work out. It seemed, from what I could see, the medium compound tyre was the one to be on.
And
it seemed
to be quickest. That track is very aggressive on tyres. I think very hard wearing.
Yeah.
Very abrasive.
something you brought up, Daniel, pre our show in, during our chat was the first round of pit stops actually came along due to a bit of a
from Gasly
misnomer.
Yeah, yeah. Gasly was had a very slow puncture.
Yep.
Losing pressure. So he's come in for a pit stop. All of a sudden, everyone else has gone to cover him off and just fed through. And all of a sudden, they've I think, essentially forced a two-stop strategy. I think a lot of the teams were hoping for a one-stop strategy.
Yep.
And I think Gasly pulling in started a two-stop strategy for most of the teams.
I don't think they would have been able to do the one-stop. That soft set of tyres just was not.
We look at Ricardo; he went and did a one-stop strategy.
I think it was two races.
But look how slow he was.
He was a couple of seconds off the pace. Like
he was lapping in like the 139s.
Mm. Yeah, well off the pace. And unfortunately, I can't believe Renault left him out that long. I think once they committed to it, they couldn't then change out of it.
There's nothing you can do once you've committed to a one-stopper.
That far in,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. The undercuts did work. So Hamilton undercut Vettel to begin with.
Yep.
Further down the grid, I think you would have found that the undercuts would have worked as well. We found that, there was lots of changes of, you know, fastest lap as the drivers did pit. They got onto the, because I think most of them started on the soft compound. And they would have gone to the medium compound if they were going to do a one stopper, but because they stopped so early, they a lot of the front runners did the second stint of their race on the softs as well.
Mm.
And there was a lot of fastest laps that cranked out throughout the race. One of the things that really was quite a major incident in the race was after Vettel had a big spin.
Can I sing the song again? You spin me right round, baby, right round. Oh, just like last year all over again.
Oh, the wry smile on Mikey's face. It's almost like you're rubbing it in, Daniel.
Can you take any sharp objects away from Michael and blunt objects so I don't get stabbed or beaten?
This will be Daniel's last podcast.
So, I remember hearing Seb get asked after the race, was it something to do with the crosswind or, you know, what happened? And he said, yeah, it might have been something to do with the crosswind, but I think he just made a mistake, boys. What are your thoughts?
I think he stuffed up.
A little bit too early on the throttle.
Yeah. He was trying to get a better run out of the turn, hoping into the next corner he might have a chance of lunging back at Seb using the DRS again. Just got on throttle too early. Real stupid.
It was real stupid. It,
just a bit of impatientness. And
there's still a lot of time to go in that race. And I think he just needed to relax himself.
Yep. He's
managed the tyres. I think he could have stayed with Lewis and with the DRS. I think the Ferrari engine was probably a bit better than the Mercedes at Bahrain. Impatient. Probably, you know, maybe there was some frustration coming through that his teammate was quicker than him and
he's definitely
wasn't giving up this place.
Yep.
He stuffed it.
Yep.
I think the DRS played a massive part in this race. So many overtakes were based around the DRS.
There were a lot that weren't with the DRS. All the action that we were talking about in the first two laps, none of that was DRS.
That's first lap, and a lot of first lap stuff is all really close. There's not the big catch up where they have to, you know, close the gap on 5 seconds, but with the DRS, I think that's making a big difference further into the race and giving you more overtakes.
I don't think anyone got really lucky with DRS that didn't deserve to overtake the person in front of them. That wasn't clearly quicker than the person in front of them.
But I think DRS sometimes gives a bit of a false overtake, though. Absolutely, yes, the car behind was typically faster and certainly deserved the overtake. But I think it would have slowed it down a little bit, not had the overtakers quickly if they didn't have DRS.
You got to look at it this way as well. If you are only getting past someone for the DRS, then that person then has the DRS when you're in front of them. So if you can't get away from them and get out of that DRS zone and get yourself some protection,
you deserve to be gobbled up.
Yeah.
Yep.
But on
I don't think there was anyone really that I can remember that got past someone and then they weren't able to put a bit of a buffer between
them. There was an overtake that I do recall, and I think it was Norris on Kimi, where there's actually on two of the DRS zones one detection point. So got past him on the first DRS zone, got it through the corner, next DRS zone.
The other one.
Had DRS again.
Got overtaken.
Yeah.
Yeah. Took his place back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. So sometimes I think DRS gives a bit of a false overtake sometimes. I think it's needed to keep some overtaking in there, but I think sometimes they may need to be shortened up a little bit in some instances, and I think this one may be the case because there's so many DRS.
But let's not
We've just said what an exciting race. That's what a proper race. It's awesome. Why would we then say, hey, you know what? We reckon there's a bit too much fun. Let's rein it back in. Let's shorten the DRS
zone. You can't have your cake and eat it too, mate.
I think it was a little bit too easy on some of them because you saw them overtake on the straight, not through the corner, or so just shorten it by another 10 metres.
If the next 19 races are like this one, I would be happy as Larry.
Same. Okay, that's settled. Now, what happened after Vettel spun was he had massive vibrations from his flat spot on his tyre, it seems. Ugh. And what's happened is his front wing has basically vibrated hell off.
He's literally shaken the front nose off.
Yep, and he's run over it. And, he's
almost tobogganed into the next corner sitting on his front wing.
Mm. I think it was George Russell that was next to him when the wing came off.
I think he may have needed to change his undies after that one. Yes.
Are our minds, thinking on the same wavelength?
Probably.
I was thinking exactly the same thing. Okay, so, there was after that, there was a really cool fight between Daniel Ricciardo and Nico Hülkenberg. It's a bit of a battle. Unfortunately, Daniel's gone on the different strategy where he's on the one stopper and Hulk's on the two stopper.
And Hulk had much younger tyres by that stage.
Yep.
And was just blitzing him lap times.
About eight laps younger.
Yeah, so about eight laps.
Yeah.
So, I think Renault put Daniel on
a bad strategy. Who won that weekend for Renault? Who was the best driver?
I don't know. They both were parked up by the end of it.
Man, let's break this down.
It pains me to say it, but I think Hülkenberg. I know Daniel out-qualified him, and that was good to see, but the entire weekend Hülkenberg was a lot quicker than Daniel.
Daniel was struggling with the car.
And then in the race, I think, Hülkenberg was doing a better job of it.
Well, he had a better strategy, hands down.
Yeah.
I think the two-stop strategy at this race was the way to go.
But you know what? Daniel would have had some say in his own strategy. He's not a passenger to that.
No, absolutely not. So, but if you're given the wrong information or the strategy changes on the fly and the decision's not changed, I think that plays a part. That's part of the team side of things. You know, he didn't put really a foot wrong in his drive. It was purely a strategy fault with that race.
It was disappointing that both of them had to go out on the same lap and
on the same corner.
Wasn't that something that you've nearly never seen before?
Never.
That's unbelievable.
Unless they've actually collided.
Yeah.
But two of the same car at the same corner.
Was it the same failure?
No, I think Nico Hülkenberg was
something like that.
It was mechanical and Daniel was electrical.
Yep.
And the whole car died.
Yeah. Yeah, you heard it.
And there was that flashing red light on top of the car. I don't know if you saw that.
Mm. They're saying it's still live, isn't it?
Well, I think so, because he didn't want to connect the steering wheel. He was a bit paranoid about whether he'd get electrocuted. And then I think that got brought up to the stewards because you meant to put your steering wheel back in so the guys, the marshals, can move the car.
Mm. Yep.
So I don't know what the outcome of that was. I think they'll let Daniel go.
What was that movie where the bad guys have this device that does an electromagnetic pulse and
pulse generator. There's lots of
movies. I think you've just every Marvel movie.
Yeah. Do you reckon Christian Horner's sitting in race control and he's got an EMP device?
Because wasn't it at the end of pit straight as well?
Yeah, I reckon, man. I'm just gonna throw that one out there. I might put my tinfoil hat on for a minute. And
again.
Yeah, man. there's spooky things that are going on in Formula One world.
But they do have the money to produce those kinds of weaponry.
It was funny. After the race, Christian Horner had another dig at Renault. You know, even without the engines in our car, they've still screwed us out of a podium.
Yeah, because of the safety car.
Yeah, that's why it stitched up Max, didn't it?
It did. It did.
Because Max was looking like he was going to be able to catch up to Leclerc and get him in the last two laps of the race.
Oh, man, he was chomping at the bit. You know, and I was getting nervously excited about that last, you know, stint where, you know, Leclerc, you know, let's talk about him. So Leclerc, he had a problem with his engine and he all of a sudden started slowing down and he said to his race engineer, what's going on or what's happening? Yeah, like obviously there was an issue. We didn't know what it was during the race. Mike, you've since said to us that
I've heard that he lost a cylinder.
Yep.
If that's true or not, I'm not sure. I mean, Ferrari weren't very forthcoming at the end of the race.
They're never very forthcoming with what happens.
They keep all that very internal. They don't like to talk. I've heard it's lost. He lost a cylinder. I don't know what repercussions there are, but
they were saying he's 30 to 40 kph down on the straight.
Yeah,
which is.
I know they thought he'd lost his turbo or he'd lost the
energy
the
recovery. Yeah.
The commentators were talking about, you know, whether his brakes would survive if it was the KERS, because the KERS helps so much in slowing the car down.
Yep.
We really don't know because Ferrari haven't really said. But the what I had heard today, the most recent thing was a lost cylinder. But yeah, it was something. It was definitely something that slowed him down and it wasn't his fault. It was definitely Ferrari's fault. They, I'm sure, at the factory and in the team feel horrible about it. Charles had such a great weekend. He was quick in every session. His qualifying lap was amazing. You know, he put Sebastian to shame. I can't believe I'm saying that.
He did have a couple of little offs in a few of the corners where – and he did the same thing last year when he was driving for Sauber. Just overdrove the car a little bit, little mistakes. He did the same thing in Melbourne the other week where he went across the grass in one of the corners, did the same thing here. But I also noticed Hamilton did the same thing in the same corner.
Yep.
And a few other drivers did the same thing in the corner. I think they had a bit of a tailwind coming to that corner that was throwing them a few of them off.
One of the things that I noticed during that time where Charles was nursing that car home was, one of the things that I was thinking, guys, was, is he going to have the maturity, the experience in a Ferrari or an F1 car at all, let alone a Ferrari, to nurse that car home and get it into that podium slot? Whether he came down to his experience or not, I think obviously he didn't manage to do it. He was going to get overtaken.
He was a sitting duck. That safety car that secured a podium for him.
Mm, absolutely.
He had no defense to Verstappen.
No.
His being a mature driver, his smart moves would be block him up a little bit, hopefully hold him out for a little bit, but ultimately don't push it too hard, let them go past.
I think what was interesting, I think he still ended up with the fastest lap.
He did, man.
Nobody beat his time. I thought in the closing, obviously not the last two laps because we had the safety car, but I thought first Lewis chasing him down and then Bottas chasing him down. Both of them had a reason to, you know, get on with it and they didn't get near his time. And same with Verstappen.
Let's just have a look. How much slower was Lewis's lap time? So Leclerc had a lap time 1:33.411. And Lewis had the next quickest time, 1:33.528. So just over a tenth of a second difference there, guys. So not a huge amount of difference. Lewis's was on lap 36 and Charles's was on lap 38.
I think they're leaving because in Melbourne, I should say, I almost said Adelaide there for a second. Mm. In Melbourne, they all started pushing for that fastest lap in the last 2 to 3 laps of the race.
Yep.
Last 2 to 3 laps of the race, we had, yellow flags for the Renaults, and then safety car.
There's so no opportunity.
There was no the opportunity that they'd normally use, they didn't do it.
Having said that, Mercedes chasing Leclerc down, I'm surprised neither of them got fastest lap in that point.
But they wouldn't need to push too hard because Leclerc's a, you know, a duck with a broken wing. He's a sitting duck, so there's no point trying to push that hard.
I disagree with that.
They had plenty of laps in their sleeve.
I disagree with that. They would have pushed hard. You never know, you know, if they changed some engine settings on the car, would Leclerc spring back to life? We've seen that before.
Yeah, yeah.
They changed the mapping settings.
Yep.
Change something on the steering wheel, suddenly, all right, we're on a different mode now, but we're working.
Yeah. Okay, where the Mercedes then running out of grip, because I knew Hamilton was complaining about grip levels on the front of the car the whole race. Well,
then if they were, then they weren't getting fastest lap in the last couple of laps.
Correct.
Well, I thought that's where they would have done it, in those laps there. Mm. Well, Bottas would have been chasing him down, not knowing, have I got enough time? Will I catch him before the end?
Yeah. I think at the end of the day, guys, it comes down to the Ferrari was a much quicker car on that track, you know, all weekend. And it wouldn't have been Leclerc on front row of the grid alongside Seb if they weren't the quicker car. So,
correct.
You know, I just think it's pretty straightforward that Ferrari were the quicker car on the day, but they just had
a weekend, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And they just had a really, really unfortunate weekend. But after all of that, the mishap with Daniel Ricciardo and the Hulk, I'm going to start calling him, what's his first name? Nico. I'm going to start calling him Nico Banner, like Bruce Banner, the Incredible Hulk.
Incredible Hulk.
Yeah. He just needs to paint himself green and, yeah, anyway. Yeah, so they both go off. Safety car comes out and Charles Leclerc, all of his prayers, all of his dreams and aspirations from when he was a little boy to, you know,
not quite all of them. He still wants the win.
Still wants the win, but
you got a podium.
Man, like he still got up there. When it all looked lost, something came through and he
I'm sure one day he'll appreciate that more, but
absolutely.
You know. You're leading. You had the weekend that he had, with the pace that he had, the race that he had, and then for that to happen, it's kicking the gut.
But it's a bit of a podium.
The podium's better than not being on the podium or being out of the race. But you know, he wouldn't have enjoyed it. It's his first podium, but you'd be gutted.
Absolutely,
you'd be so hurt.
Yep, you'd be hurt that one that you went from a high likelihood of a win to a third place, and you only got that third place because of a safety car. You know, winning or completing a race under a safety car is never a good way to finish a race. No one ever likes that, or a red flag. No one ever likes that.
Well, on the flip side of that, guys, what do we think Lewis would have thought having won the race in that fashion? Do you think – I don't think we heard
– How's that for a Stuart Bradbury moment?
Oh, man, yeah. we heard Toto Wolff, you know, on the Sky F1 commentary say that he really didn't think that they deserved basically to win that race and you know, he doesn't want to win races that way.
No.
Nobody does.
You don't.
You know what? Mercedes have it down pat how to show modesty. They really do.
They do.
But let's cut through all of that. They would be relieved that they took the points from Ferrari. They'd be concerned at how quick Ferrari was there.
Absolutely.
Lewis would be over the moon that he's got those points. He's within a point of Bottas. Oddly enough, it's the fastest lap in Melbourne that keeps Bottas on top of the driver's standings, I believe.
Yeah.
I think Hamilton's in front.
Can't be.
Sorry.
Bottas is a point ahead.
Bottas is in front. Sorry.
Don't ever doubt me, Daniel.
I was looking at the bloody race results.
I actually watched the race, okay?
Oh, that hurts.
So, yeah, look.
They would be relieved. They'd be happy to take the points. Lewis would be thanking his lucky stars. He knows he got lucky here.
Bottas is in front, 44 to 43.
That's what I said, the one point.
Yep.
Just one more thing. I thought Lewis was all class, actually, in the driver's room after the race. If you stayed up, Daniel, you would have seen this, right?
Lewis, I'm not going to leave this down, am I?
Bottas and Charles came in. And the three of them had a nice chat. And the way Lewis said to him, you know, you had such a good race.
You're going
to
win many races.
You're going to win many races. You know, you're young. It's the start of your career. You're going to go on to, you know, bigger and better things.
It was a very nice gesture.
He was very humble. Mm. He didn't have to do that.
No.
I thought it was really nice.
Yep.
You know, he didn't over-celebrate. He knew that he got lucky. He knew that he'd skated through like Stephen
Bradbury. He knew it was a Ferrari weekend, and due to circumstances outside of their control, he's got the win.
Certainly did get the win. And for Bottas, I think it was a little bit of a consolation that, you know, he came through second. I don't think Bottas would be particularly happy with that race.
Wasn't the same Bottas we saw in Melbourne,
was it? No, the beard wasn't doing it for him this time around.
Good start
of the race, but you know, I mean, that guy that took it to Lewis and ran away with it, we were hoping to see him, but
no, he wasn't there this weekend. I mean, it wasn't a clanger for him by any stretch of the imagination. It was a good solid drive. It was a Bottas race where he was a bit consistent and did a good job. But it wasn't the bearded Bottas we had in Melbourne.
So besides from the front runners, guys, besides from Mercedes, Ferrari, let's move on Renault, who we pretty much talked about those three teams, and Red Bull. What do we think about the rest of the field? Obviously, we had a really, really strong result from McLaren with Lando Norris finishing in sixth posi. That was, man, like imagine where... If they'd thought last year that, you know, come second race of 2019, they were going to finish in the top six, genuine, you know, top six. Can
you imagine if they still had the Honda motor?
Wow. Yeah, man. That's
that package with the Honda motor.
But is it, you know, I've heard things said about, is it the way that Adrian Newey can you know, being the Red Bull technical director, is it the way that he can get the Honda engine to work? Is it the way...
it is packaged in amongst that chassis and the rest of it?
I don't know.
It's entirely possible. But I mean, Lando's showing a really good... He's a young gun. He's going to be really good, I think. A good driver to watch over the next few years.
I think that Red Bull would have been too far along in its development for 2019 when they decided to switch to Honda.
I think they were switching to Honda. They knew they were switching to Honda earlier.
I don't think the car was necessarily designed around the Honda motor. I think the Honda motor has fit in really well and they're pleased with the package. But the motor's improved. It seems to be a little bit more reliable. The Red Bull two races in and they seem to be okay. There's pace to them.
They've done better than
Renault
so far.
They finished races. How many Renaults have finished a race?
Yeah, it hasn't been a Honda engine failure yet, I don't think. But last race in Australia, I think
Saints cooked an engine.
Daniel had an engine problem after it too, didn't he, from memory?
Yeah, maybe.
He retired the car?
I don't think there was an engine problem. I think there was an aero issue.
It doesn't matter. But, yeah, Renaults have been no good
so far. Some issues.
They've had some issues.
In Bahrain.
Definitely had issues in Bahrain.
Haas, so-so. We didn't really...
They'd be disappointed, I think. I think they had a shocker of a race. Mm. It wasn't a good race for Haas.
No.
They've got a lot of potential, but it wasn't their weekend. McLaren nailed it on the head. I think they had a really good weekend, really good times. Sauber is still there.
Roundabouts.
Yeah. Kimi's there.
Yep.
Giovinazzi, not so much.
Yeah. Who else did we have? The Williams...
They were
like 3 or 4 seconds off the pace, guys.
They're miles behind.
They brought back Patrick Head.
Yeah.
Patrick Head has returned to Williams.
Wow. Okay. How long's he been out of the game, do you think?
About 10 years? I reckon it was around 2011, so 8-9 years, yeah.
Yeah, so he used to be was he at McLaren or
Williams? Well, he co-founded the team with Sir Frank.
Okay, yep. Yeah. So,
he's been gone for a while and they've brought him back. I think the term they used was short-term consultancy role.
Yep.
Try and fix this game.
See if he can do a Steve Jobs.
Well, I think it was to fix Paddy's mess there.
Oof. Okay.
Okay. Yep. Well, Paddy did build two dogs of a car, so.
Well, you know, he's on that leave of absence.
Yep.
Mm.
Gardening leave.
Yeah, most people who run... well, designed the car and the front of the management group, you know, this is the time of year that they take off.
the beginning of the season. Well, I'll just take some gardening
leave
at the beginning
of the season. Holiday time.
We had, who else did we have, guys? We had the racing points of Lance Stroll. Where did Lance Stroll finish, guys? Did
racing
he finish?
Point generally 14th. Pretty good.
And
I don't think Racing Point had a good race.
Sergio Perez, he was the last points scorer for 10th spot. Alex Albon in the Toro Rosso finished 9th.
I thought he handled himself well. He's in a lot of duels, even with his teammate.
Yeah.
With Kimi, I thought he did a really good job.
The Toro Rosso
taking
seemed to be
Gasly,
quite a...
overtaking Gasly in the race. I thought that was excellent.
What happened to him?
He's nowhere, man. Like I just
how he's not. I was excited by him coming into Red Bull, and I thought he was going to be a really good ticket in there, challenging Verstappen for racing, and he's 10th. In Bahrain, I don't know what he finished in Melbourne, but he didn't do particularly well in Melbourne either.
He's way down, yeah.
I don't think he will be there at the end of the season. No. He won't see out a full season at Red Bull with this form.
Who do they? If let's speculate, who would they put in? Would they put in Daniil Kvyat, or would they put in maybe they put in Albon? Who knows? We'll see how that battle.
Hey, if he performs, you never know.
Yep. Yeah.
But you would think it'd be one of the Toro Rosso drivers.
Mm, mm.
Well, that's I don't know. I reckon they probably put Kvyat back in.
Yeah, me too. That's my gut feel. But
if they had to make the choice, they'd put Kvyat back in.
It's still early days, guys. You know, who knows? Maybe Pierre will turn this around. But if we could just as easily have this conversation about Daniel Ricciardo, honestly.
Absolutely.
He stuffed up the first race and didn't particularly do so well this race.
I think Daniel's proven enough that you're not going to talk about replacing him mid-season.
Absolutely.
They've spent a bucket load to bring him over. It's not his fault. The car's rubbish.
Yep.
But it's hard to look at it and say, well, if Verstappen's doing this and Gasly's doing that, and there's such a gap between them.
Yep. Correct.
Absolutely not anything to disparage Danny Rick, by the way, to all of our Aussie fans.
You're going to be lynched by the end of the night.
Totally am all about Daniel Ricciardo. I just was trying to look at it objectively. You know, you could say the same thing potentially about both drivers if you're looking at it objectively.
I disagree, no, because Gasly, Daniel Ricciardo had a stupid move in the first race, you let that one go. You know, you always have a silly mistake somewhere along the line. I don't think this race he was bad by any stretch of the imagination. I think he drove a fairly good race, but he got a bad strategy. Gasly, however, Melbourne, he didn't do so well because he got knocked out in Q1 very easily. I think that was more of a strategy decision, but he didn't tear through the pack like he should have done.
No.
And this race, I think he's had a very average race. Again, he didn't qualify that well, and that wasn't a decision from Red Bull that he didn't qualify well. I think it was just bad driving. He's saying the car's twitchy compared to what he's used to and he doesn't like it.
Yeah, okay.
So I think, yes, they're very different drivers and very different circumstances. I would consider moving Gasly if he doesn't start showing improvement sort of by midway through the year.
Have we got any other notes on this race? I think we can probably wrap up the race review. Let's go into our new segment, guys. What do you think? What we're going to do throughout the season, we're going to have a tally of each race. Whoever has done something particularly outstanding, we each get a vote, and we're going to call the vote for that the Shoey in honor of our boy Danny Rick.
Go, Danny Rick.
And if somebody, each race, we're also going to do the same thing for someone who's basically had a major stuff up or has done something silly, stupid, whatever.
Done a Maldonado.
Yeah, basically, or a crash Sean. We should probably call it a crash Sean, but we're going to call it a grid penalty. So we're going to get one vote each. Do you want to? We'll just recap last week. Last race at Australia. Got there, Mikey?
Look, I think all three of us would give the shoey to Bottas.
Absolutely,
we don't want this award to just be the guy who wins.
No,
but in Melbourne, Bottas was head and shoulders above everyone else.
Yep, absolutely.
And you really couldn't look past him. It was that impressive. for our grid penalty for Melbourne. We're divided. Izzy and Daniel have both said Daniel Ricciardo. The treason continues. And I, being an Australian, have nominated Gasly.
Yeah, for his not so great performance.
No, I thought he was horrible in Melbourne. In a good car, he was horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. This week. All right, so grid penalty, and oh, let's start with Shuey. Shuey for this week.
We've all nominated
Leclerc.
Yes, we have.
Hands down. Has to be.
What a weekend from him. Like, really.
Yeah,
great that pole, sensational.
Yep.
If you watch him through that second sector where Sebastian's backing off, there's a video online. You should watch it. It's both of them, both their laps, side by side. And you've got Seb lifting off and Leclerc just flat stick.
Yep.
And that was the difference.
Yep.
Yep.
That really was the difference. And we both have the same grid penalty.
Sebastian Vettel for the spin.
What was he thinking?
Like, who knows, man?
He's thinking Lewis, Daniel really wants that bottle of scotch and deserves it.
He'd lost.
Here we go. I knew it was going to come up. Here we go. I want to hear it.
He'd
I'm
going to
get Daniel
spot.
That bottle of scotch, so I'm just going to lay the throttle into it and loop my car.
Early days, mate. Early days.
So it's, you're on the scotch and, Mikey, you're on the Jack Daniels, correct?
That's it, mate.
Yeah. What sort of scotch are you going to chase down, Daniel?
I don't know yet. I haven't decided completely yet, but we'll wait. I'm not counting my chickens before they hatch because I know how Ferrari work. So
there's a little clause I forgot to tell you about. There's a 19-race minimum that you have to watch live. To qualify for the bottle, mate. So you might not be able to do it. It's like the 107% rule.
Hang on. So you're putting these caveats in there. So when you lose.
We all know the 107% rule, mate.
Oh, mate, if we really wanted to turn the tables, if you wanted to flip the script on this, mate, like, I think, what'd you have on 2 weekends ago, mate? Why couldn't you come across to Melbourne?
I still watched it live, mate. I knew everything that was happening as it was happening.
Shots fired.
I will not miss a race. I've watched it on my phone. Doesn't matter where I am. On my honeymoon in the middle of Paros, beautiful island, beautiful view. I'm sitting there watching this Greek commentary. I had no idea what they're saying. But I watched the race there.
Excellent. So I don't know what the tally is at the moment. Has anyone got 2 points for either of those? No.
No.
So we'll keep that.
Bottas and Leclerc are tied.
Yeah.
And Vettel is our loser. He's leading our grid penalty.
That can be comfortable for you.
He's got 3 votes, 2 to Danny and 1 to Pierre Gasly.
We'll keep a very close eye
we'll have
that.
To keep a spreadsheet or something, track as the year goes on.
Yep. All right, guys. So, cool. I like that little segment. It's going to be something we're going to do every week, and I'm pretty excited to keep that going. So, let's look on to the next race. The next race is in
Shanghai.
2 weeks. Yeah, 2 weeks time in China. Thoughts?
Hopefully, it's like this week's race.
Yeah.
I really do. I hope there's lots of overtaking, lots of incidences, good practice sessions, good qualifying. I really look forward to it again.
Normally one of the most exciting races on the calendar.
Yeah.
That long straight, that back straight there, a lot of overtaking. Yeah, a lot of people run wide because it's a bit like a hairpin.
Yep.
You got to come almost a complete stop. And then you got another sort of straight before you get to the pits or to come onto
pit
the
straight.
Main, yeah, pit straight there. Great track. Really, really like the Chinese track. I think it'll be a great race.
Yeah.
The cars this year have looked great. So much more overtaking, so much more enthusiasm. It looks like that, you know, they're willing to go for it. And, you know, most of them respect each other and don't want to damage the cars. I think we'll be in for a great race.
Any good memories? I mean, I've got a really good memory.
I love this little segment that we've been doing.
Yeah.
Remembering past races. For me, China, 2007.
Yep.
Blew open the Formula One World Championship.
Mm.
Young Lewis Hamilton, rookie season with McLaren, leading the championship, comes into pit. And this is when China was at the back end of the season.
Yep.
Comes into pit. I don't know what he did. Somehow he managed to beach that car on a gravel trap on the entry to the pits. Car stuck, race over. Thank you very much. We go to Brazil with there's a couple of points between him and Alonso, and Raikkonen, I think, was 6 or 7 points back.
Yeah.
And then that race in Brazil in 2007, Kimi World Champion, was fantastic.
Do you reckon 2007 was the year that that Beached Ez video came out from our New Zealand friends? I'm Beached Ez, bro.
Don't eat chips, bud.
My memory of China, it's an Aussie memory because in 2011, can't remember the circumstances, but our man Mark Webber, he started the race from 18th. I would dare say it was due to some sort of penalty, most likely. He used to often get penalties for changing engines or gearboxes in the Red Bull back
then.
Well,
they gave him the leftover parts.
Yeah, that's right. He got Seb's, the B-class parts, didn't he?
he definitely had the B-car.
That day, though, he certainly didn't have the B-car. He brought his A-game. He came all the way back from 18th to finish on the podium, third spot. He just ousted Jenson Button that day. And, man, for a guy or for a non-race win, for me, that was one of the highlights of my watching F1. And I think Webber would be pretty damn proud of that race as well. I mean, obviously, there's people that have come from that far back to win races, but at that point in time, I think it was really a significant part of Webber's career.
I think my highlight would be Daniel Ricciardo last year, getting on the podium, top line, number one.
Wasn't expected to.
They pitted towards the end of the race under safety cars, and Verstappen did a stupid move on Vettel, and Vettel spun again, and Daniel Ricciardo came through for the win. And just a great race to watch.
Shua!
Well, who do we think is going to win in China?
What are our predictions? I'm not even going to attempt to predict that.
Oh, we've got to predict.
You've got four opportunities there at a minimum with Mercedes and Ferrari. Any one of those guys could win it.
I'm predicting Leclerc.
Oh, straight in there.
Straight in there.
Boom.
Mikey?
Lewis.
Do you know what? I'm going to go on the outskirts, Verstappen. I reckon Verstappen's going to get the first Honda win.
Wow. That's cool. We've all picked someone different. So
I'm just picking that one because I think that's completely outlandish and probably won't ever happen, and I like a good dark horse.
Yeah. All right. Final comments, guys, before we wrap this show up. Nobody's got any final comments?
No.
Doesn't look like it. Okay, guys, so thank you so much for your listenership, wherever you're listening from, all around the world. We've got people listening in the far corners of the globe, and please continue to listen and share this podcast with your friends and family. We'd love for you to not only just follow us on social media, on our Twitter, which is @BoxAussieF1, or on our Facebook page with the same handle. But, if you are finding us through Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Google Podcasts or any of your favorite podcast players, please make sure that you share the podcast with your friends and family. It'd mean a lot to us. It's really the only way that we can, apart from, spending money on advertising, that we don't have the money to do that. It's really the only way that we can get the word out. So thank you so much for everybody who has touched base with us so far. And thanks for your involvement in the show. So we'll catch you next
2 weeks time.
2 weeks time. We're not going to have a show next week. So we'll see you in 2 weeks time, guys, and stay tuned. And thank you very much for your time. Boys, I'm signing off. Is he really
signing off? Thank you very much for listening. And we'll see you in 2 weeks time, just after China.
Stay safe.
Can I sing the song again?
You spin me right round, baby, right round.
Oh. Just like last year all over again.